Good morning again. Thank you for joining with us today. Thank you, Ms. Deborah Walker, member of our Finance Committee here at St. Simon's Christian Renewal. Thankful for all of our volunteers and workers, and even during this time that they're so diligent to work and to see that the church continues and to go on. And we're still here Monday through Friday. The doors aren't necessarily open, but we're here for you. The phone is open. Of course, the internet is working. And anything that we can do in any way to encourage you and to help, to pray, we're here for you. And we want to hear from you. Pray God's blessings on you today. Well, I have an important word for you today. I have an important word from the Lord. It comes out of the Word of God. Today we'll focus out of Psalm chapter 31 and verse 24. Psalm 31, 24 says, "Be of good courage, and he," speaking of God, "shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." Our natural tendency, our human tendency, since we're limited on what we can do and how we can do, and even in these times, even what we can legally do, a great challenge, our human tendency is to pull back and to not to be diligent in the things that we should be diligent in. The first is our relationship with the Lord. And being that things are different right now for all of us, human tendency is to pull back. And sometimes even to the point of being lazy in what God has called us to do. God's call is on your life and my life to pursue him first and foremost. We know in Matthew it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added." All these things, but we first commit to pursuing God. So today, don't let up. Now is the time not to let up. Now, I understand we need to rest, and that's something I've had to learn. Me personally, I have to learn to rest. I have to devote energy to helping me rest. So rest is wise. Resting is wisdom. But don't let up in our pursuit of Jesus. Don't let up in the truth that we're to be discouraged, to be dismayed, to think that we're losing in life. So I want to encourage you in the next few moments about not letting up. Do not let up. Life happens. Life happens. Situations happen. What's happening right now is something that we have never, ever experienced. None of us alive has ever experienced. But life happens in different forms and different formats and different roads and different paths. And if we focus our attention on that change and what is a challenge to us, whatever that may be, then we lose focus of Christ. We lose focus of our pursuit of him. Several years ago, when our son Josh and his wife Kendra and Silas was out in Ohio, Zelda, our four-year-old granddaughter, was not yet born to Josh and Kendra. Chris and I was going to go up to Ohio and visit them, but rather than flying this particular trip, we took the time and planned it out where we could get in the car and drive. And so as we drove across and toward this 13-hour trip, my personality is, let's get in the car and don't stop the car until we get to our destination. And so as we're traveling along this 13-hour trip, we had to stop. 13 hours, there's no way, number one, for that car to have enough gas in it to go 13 hours. Secondly, situations happen to where you either need to eat or just rest, stretch your legs, go to the restroom. So during that 13-hour trip, we found ourselves stopping a few times. And if we weren't careful, we would get sidetracked by, oh, wow, this is neat. Let's go into this store. Let's do this or do that. And before we know it, we've become distracted from our destination to the place where we currently are. You see what I'm saying, getting at? In life, our walk with God is the same way. We have our destination. When we come to Christ, we know where we're headed and where we want to go. But then as things come up during our journey, during our trip, it's such a long trip. Many times, sometimes it's a real challenge to remember where we are and where we're going, that we become distracted by the events going on the sideline. And many times if we cause that distraction to be our destination, then we lose focus of where we know that we're supposed to be. So our walk with God must be our destination. We've got to continue to focus on that. I want to encourage you that today. We all know the story of the tortoise and the hare. we raised our children talking about the little story and our grandchildren and talking about that, where one had the potential to beat and the other became, his potential was sidetracked by his laziness and wanting to stop. While the other one didn't necessarily have the potential to win the race, he's the one that won the race because he was persistent and consistent. In our walk with God, if we stay persistent and we stay consistent in Him, many times it's not the speed that gets us where we're going, it's the consistency of our life that gets us to where we're going and where we want to be. Philippians 3:14, Paul speaks of this. Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the goal. I'm not letting up. Paul says, I press toward the goal. That's where I'm headed. For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The upward call in all of our lives is to pursue Christ. There's not one single person that's alive, has ever lived, or will ever live, that has not been breathed the life, the very life of God in their lives. We're alive only because of the power of God. And so each one of us has a call of God on our life. We have a purpose. You have a purpose. We all have a purpose. And our purposes are unique. Just like our fingerprint is unique. We're all different. So is our purpose. We all come together and we make up the body of Christ. But ultimately, our call is from God, and we're to pursue God and to press toward the goal of pursuing Him. We will never plateau. I don't care how old I get or how old you get. We'll never plateau to the point where we've accomplished all that God wants us to accomplish, and now we can just jail and sit back and not do another thing in life. As long as we're living, there's a purpose for our lives. We have a dear lady in our church that is well into her 90s, and there's purpose for her life. She prays for us, she calls us, she texts us, she encourages us. There's purpose for your life. Now, when we have done all that we're to do on earth, you know what? We'll be in heaven. God will call us to heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 58 says, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Nothing you do in the Lord is a waste. You say, well, I don't really have the talents to do that or to do that, and what I do is not really important. Everything you do in the work of the Lord, this is confirmation, as you stay steadfast, immovable, always abounding. In other words, be consistent in what God's called you to do. Not one thing is in vain. Now you may say, well, I've messed up and I've not used my talents for God. Now what shall I do? Start today. Start pursuing God today. It's not what happened yesterday. It's not how we start or what we've done even up to the last moment. It's what we do from this moment forward that counts. The decision that we make today. So I want to speak to you today. I want to speak to you that our walk with God is not a competition. We're not competing. We're not on different teams. We're on the same team. We're part of the same family. We're in this together. I love the hashtag that's going around. All in this together. We're all together. Life is not a competition. Our walk with God is not a competition. I'm not competing with you, and you're not competing with me. It's not about who we can outdo. I want to get a notch ahead of you, or I want to get a notch ahead of you. That's not what God wants us to be focused on. It's not who can get there first. This is not a race. It's not who can be the best at what they're doing. We're all in this together. Did you know that my pinky toe is as important as my big toe? We may not see it that way, but it is. And if I'm missing my pinky toe, I know it's missing. It's important. You say, well, that's not as important as your right hand, because with your right hand you do this. Yes, but my pinky toe helps stabilize me, right? And so every part is important. We need to be consistent and close to God in every step of the way. The devil will try to hinder you. The devil will try to sideline you. The devil will try to pull your focus and your attention. The devil will try to take your hope, will try to take your faith in God. He will do his best to take your joy and your peace, especially during this time. He'll try to rob you of your confidence in God and your faith in God. He'll try to rob you of your dreams and your goals, the things that you wanted to accomplish this year. Well, it can't be accomplished now. Well, you know what? The things in your life can be accomplished in a greater way than what you thought they could have been January 1st of 2020. So don't let the devil talk to you today. Don't let him breathe in your ear, and don't repeat what he's saying. Somebody would say to me, well, Pastor Mike, do you know what the devil's saying to me? I said, no, and I don't want to know. Don't even repeat it. What is God saying today? We need to repeat what God says. Not. We don't need to repeat what the devil's saying. We know that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And what he says is doing one of those three things. The devil's not going to come encourage you to serve God. The devil will attempt to intimidate you, to rob you, and to pull you to the sideline. But God is a pro at making your future bigger than what you ever dreamed it would be. God can do it. And God knows you. God knows you. He knows me better than we know ourselves. God will exceed your expectations. Isaiah 55, 8, and 9. I'm sure you've heard this verse. It says, "For my thoughts," speaking of God, this is God speaking to you and me, "for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." That means that God, whatever our best decision is, whatever our best goal is, God has something better for you than that. We can never, ever reach the ceiling of God. We can never get to the highest rung of the ladder with God because he's got something even greater than what we anticipate or expect. Well, how can we accomplish that? Pursue God. Pursue God. God's word is a manual of encouragement. This entire word is a manual of encouragement. No matter what we read, it's an encouragement for us to draw closer to God. Not to let go. Not to let up. The word encouragement is taken from a Greek word, paraklesis. The Greek word paraklesis means to comfort, lift, refresh, brighten up, to come alongside another person for the purpose of strengthening them. That's what God is to us today. He's an encouragement, and his word is an encouragement. Jesus told his disciples in John 14, 26 that he would send a helper. You know what that word helper means? Encourager. Jesus told his disciples, and what he told his disciples in that day, he means for today, for you and I, to send a helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus said. He will teach you all things. Is there something you need to know today? There's a lot that I need to know. As I press into the Holy Spirit, it says here that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. Why do we need to remember the things that Jesus said to us? Because it's encouragement. It brings life. It brings life. Every word that God speaks brings life. He wants to encourage you today. To encourage you, don't let up. Don't be satisfied with where you are today. Things may be different. The atmosphere may be different. But God wants to say to you today, don't let up. God corrects us. He convicts us. You say, well, that's not real encouraging when God corrects me. It's encouraging because he knows your potential, that he wants you to kind of fine-tune where you are to be better. Any great football coach, you know what? If we were to take about a 60-second clip from a locker room of one of the best football coaches in the nation today, took about a 60-second clip, you'd say, well, man, he hates those guys. He can't stand those guys. Can you hear the way he was talking to them? But if we understand the whole message of what the coach is trying to teach those guys, it's, listen, get your focus straight, work as a team, keep your eye on the goal, and go out there and win the game. And so that's what God is saying to us today. Sometimes he corrects us. You know what? Sometimes I need correcting. Sometimes I get my focus on something else besides on God. And so God knows that. So he corrects us. He convicts us. He convicts us, but he does it in an encouraging way where we have a desire to focus and to follow him and to win in this thing we call life, not to compete with anybody else, but to be victorious in the things that you're facing today so that you'll be an overcomer, more than a conqueror, and victorious in Jesus Christ. He says, I'll teach you all things. I want to give you three reasons not to let up. The first of these three is because God comforts us. God, by his Spirit, comforts us. He's the best life coach. He's the best football coach. He's the best business partner. He's the best marriage counselor. He's the best counselor when we've lost a loved one to help us be encouraged by the loss in our life. God comforts us. That's why we don't need to let up. If we really understood the power of his love, if we really understood how much he loves us, I mean, we as believers have a hard enough understanding God's love. The unbeliever, those that don't know Christ, is because they really don't understand the love that Christ has for them. God so loved the world that he gave his son. God loves you. We understand his love do we understand that He comes to comfort us in our time of need, in our time of lack, in our time of question, in our time of trying to decide what to do. God is beside you. I was involved in a situation not long ago, and this person came to me and said, gave me all the details of the situation that was at hand, and really it was a tough situation. This person was having a really, really, really hard time, passionately really hard time dealing with the situation at hand. So this person proceeded to give me all the details, and I listened to every detail, every concern, and correctly, it was a challenge. And so at the end of me understanding all the details of this very tough situation, very challenging situation, they said, okay, do you have a plan, an answer to this situation? I said, well, no, I don't. I don't have an answer for you. I don't have a solution. But I would say let God work things out, because maybe right now is a little too soon to come up with a solution in this challenge. Let's let God work it out, and let's trust God to do this. Well, this person was adamant and person was passionate and said, no, I need a solution. I need you to help me come up with a solution. This is really, I can't sleep. I can't do anything. I'm burdened with this anxiety. I've got to have an answer. And I again said, well, I don't have an answer, but I'll help you pray. So some time had passed, and a short time later, talking again, and I said, were you praying? And this person said, yes, I've been praying. I said, exactly what was your prayer? And this person said to me, well, I first asked God to solve the issue, solve the problem. And secondly, I said, God, you must not care about me because this problem is not fixed. You don't care about my happiness. And so I said, well, I knew you had been praying, and I believe that the first part of your prayer was accurate in that you were asking God to intervene and to give a solution and answer. The second part was just simply a waste of your emotion, waste of your time, because we all know that He wants you happy and He wants the very best for your life. But while you were praying and while you've been praying, the Lord gave me a brilliant answer to your solution. I have the answer to your solution. And as time had passed during that time, the Lord had so miraculously dropped in me an answer to that concern. And it was brilliant. It had to be from God. It was a brilliant answer. And so I said, well, while you've been praying, I have got an answer from God for your situation. And I proceeded to speak this solution to this situation. And this other person began to sob uncontrollably, to cry. And at the end of that time of crying, said, that's exactly what needs to happen. That's the answer. But why don't we give time for God to do what He's going to do? God encourages us in amazing ways if we allow. Sometimes we press and we push for answers when we really come to the place we need to trust God to comfort us and to give us the answers that we need. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. God of all comfort, who comforts us in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 1, who comforts us in all our tribulation. There is nothing that you are facing that God can't handle and God can't bring an answer to. Whether He brings it through the voice of someone else or whether He miraculously does it another way. He comforts us in all our tribulation that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God is comforting you. God is encouraging you so that we can also encourage and help others to be a comfort to them. God doesn't want you miserable. God doesn't want you hurting. God doesn't want you anxious. God does not want you fearful, because our hope is in our Comforter. The second reason not to let up is because God's Word gives life. God's Word gives life. As Mr. Eber said a while ago, in this life and the life to come. But we've got to want to receive that life that he's given us, that abundant life. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, this is Jesus, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. God's word is life. Why should we let up? Why should we give up? Why should we go backward when our life is from Jesus Christ? And he is never tapped out of life. He is never short of life. He is life. He's the way, the truth, and the life, the Bible says. His word is powerful. His word strengthens us. His word encourages us. His word brings life to us. If we will dedicate time every single day to this word, every single day, we'll experience a life that we've never known before. The word of God is really like to us spiritually, like workout is to us physically. We've been riding bicycles for the last couple of weeks. We haven't rode in years, but you know what? It's strengthening our body. It's giving us a new life. It's helping our lungs to expand in ways that we didn't know it had the ability. Amen? And so the word of God is the same way. It strengthens us. As we read the word of God, man, we just get more hungry for it. We want to read it more. Our physical bodies, as we stretch, we want to stretch more. As we ride 3.5 miles one weekend, we want to ride 5.5 miles the next weekend. We want to do more so that God can build us up and encourages us and strengthen us and bring life. Romans 15:4 says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning. That means everything that was written before, all this was written before our time, but they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. That's what we get out of the word of God. We read, we exhort, we learn from that, we get doctrine. That gives us the guidelines of living. You know what? If I set up my own guidelines, they're not going to be centered on the word of God. But if I center my life on the word of God, then I'm on the path that God wants me on. And the reward of God is only found in one of those paths. One of those two paths has the reward of God, and it's by his way and not by my way. So I've got to seek him. I've got to devote my life to learning him, learning his word. Psalm 119:105 says, your word, speaking of the word of God, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's like going at dark and trying to walk somewhere and find our way somewhere without a light to light our path. But the word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And lastly, number three, reason not to let up, not to go backward, is to watch God's eyes. His eyes are upon you. Don't let up because God sees you. Watch God's eyes. It's amazing that people that know you real well can look into your eyes and see where you are. Isn't that amazing? Crystal can look into my eyes after we were talking almost 38 years of dating, 35 years of marriage. She can look into my eyes and see if my wheels are turning. What are you thinking about? If I'm worried, what are you worried about? If I'm up to no good, what are you up to? She can look in my eyes and see all those things. Why? Because she knows me. She's looked into my eyes enough times that she knows exactly what's going on, what's spinning. She may not know the definition yet, but she knows something. When we look at God's eyes, when we get to know him more, get to understand him more, we say, God, I see the life in your eyes. I see the excitement. I see the love in your eyes toward me. You can tell how people look at you, that they just love you, that they just, oh my goodness. I could just eat your ears off. I tell my grandchildren, I start with their toes. I eat them up. God loves you that much. Genesis 6:8 says, but Noah found grace, where? In the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace. You know what grace is wrapped with? Grace is wrapped with God's love, with his acceptance. I wouldn't call Noah a perfect man. I wouldn't call any of us perfect people. But God's grace, he loves us so much, we can see it in his eyes. When we begin to look into the eyes of God, and what I mean by that, maybe not physically, but spiritually, when we pray, when we devote our life to God, when we pray and even take time to sit and to listen to his voice, we learn that as we gaze toward him and gaze toward who he is and how great and awesome he is, we see grace in the eyes of God. The same grace that was there for Noah is the same grace that's there for you and I. Noah saw grace in the eyes of God. Because, why? Because Noah was consistent in his pursuit of knowing God. God gave Noah some big instructions. God gave Noah some real, definite, precise things to do. And by knowing God, Noah followed those things. And God's blessing was upon Noah. You see how that works. You have the same potential as Noah had, and greater and bigger. Sometimes our outlook gets distorted. Sometimes we're seeing through the wrong eyes. Sometimes we look through our limited eyes and our understanding that it's distorted. It's not truth. But when we see through the eyes of God, we have a different perspective. We can see things differently. We can see things through the eyes of God that encourages us and not discourages us. Because our human outlook is, well, I can't do that. But God's outlook is, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. So when we look through God's eyes, our perspectives change, our faith rises. We see that all things can be done through the Spirit of God, through His hand. And see, if we don't look through the eyes of God, if we don't look through the eyes of the spiritual word of God today, we get the wrong instruction. Have you ever tried to put together something and ignored the manual, instruction manual? I have. Did it come out right? No. Was it messed up? Yeah. But if we get the instructions from God's word, then we can. That doesn't mean we get it right all the time. Even at our best, we're going to fail. But you know what? Get up and dust off and say, God, I'm here again. I'm ready to go again. Because God's grace never taps out. His love for you never taps out. That's why I'm saying today, I encourage you not to let up. God's word is our GPS. God's word is our instruction. God's word gives us the right path to life. He gives us the right way to doing things His way. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another. By what? By the word of God. I spoke with a lady this week, and she's had a friend of hers, known the lady for well over 20 years. And she said, Pastor Mike, I just need to share with you, this lady I've known for over 20 years. I've lived the life in front of her, and I've done things, but I've never pushed her. I've never pushed her toward anything, but just recently she's asked me to pray with her to accept Christ after 20 years of friendship. See, many times we just need to live the life. We just need to be an encouragement to somebody in their interactions, and not necessarily preaching, but to live a life, to edify one another. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Isn't it cool that we can assemble together today even without coming to the same address? You're not at 6530 Frederica Road. You're where you are today, but we're still assembling together, one mind and one accord. But we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but in Hebrews 10:25 it says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? The coming of the Lord. We will never waste time by assembling together to do what we're doing today. Whether it's in person or whether it's over the internet, we'll never ever waste time by joining together and encouraging one another and lifting each other up. I don't want you to let up today. Don't let up today. 2 Corinthians 13:11 says, finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Listen, it doesn't matter how you started out. It doesn't matter how you have messed up, how you've sinned, how you've gotten off track. What matters is how you will begin from this moment forward. There's a modern day true story that I read that I want to share with you in closing. A very, very famous person, and I'll tell you who he is at the end. But he had a rough childhood. He was physically and sexually abused growing up, got kicked out of high school, tried to commit suicide twice, once as a preteen, again at 22 years old. At 23 years old, he moved to Atlanta, took up odd jobs, and he started working on a stage career. In 1992, he wrote and produced and starred in his first theater production, somewhat portraying his difficult upbringing. He put all his savings into the show, and it failed miserably. The last the run lasted one weekend and had 30 people that came out to watch it after he put all of his savings in. He kept up with the production, working more odd jobs and often slipping in his car to get by. 6 years later, finally broke through when on this seventh run, the show became a success. He's since gone on to have an extremely successful career as a director, writer, actor. Tyler Perry was named Forbes' highest paid man in entertainment in 2011. You can never stop pursuing God. God's plan is huge. Don't let the things in life hinder you from pursuing God. Don't let up. Don't let the things that are going on today to hinder you and to stop you from making history in God. Listen, it's not man's praises that I'm singing today. It's God's praises that I'm singing today. Man is awesome only by the hand of God. Even when, you know what? Even when God blesses some people, they go even on the wrong track then because they get prideful and everything. You know what? I've made it on my own now and I can do this. We've got to stay focused on God. No matter how big we are, no matter how little we are, we've got to stay motivated. God wants to motivate you today. God wants to encourage you today. God wants to help you to stay consistent in your walk with Him. And God has a great plan for you, and it's not based on your history. God's great plan is not based on your history. God's great plan is based on His history. You have a future in God. You have a future in God. Jesus Christ loves you, and He's right here beside you. God is great. God is awesome. And He loves you today. I'm going to ask Crystal if you'll come up and join me this morning. We want to pray for you, pray with you, pray for God's blessings on your life, to let you know again that we're here for you, to encourage you in any way that we can. Our prayer goes out to you today, wherever you are, no matter what you're experiencing, no matter what difficulty that you're experiencing today. We pray God just bless you today and wrap His arms around you. But you've also got to respond to Him. He's there with you. But He's not going to make you serve Him. He's not going to make you put your eyes on Him. He'll ask you. He'll encourage you to do that. And it's up to us to look to Him for our faith, for our strength, for our help, for our future. It's all in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. God, You have all the answers. You have all the solutions. You have everything that we need today, Father. Lord, it's only by Your hand. And so, God, no matter where each one of these people are that are listening today under the sound of my voice, no matter what they're facing, no matter what the hurt is, no matter what the past has been, no matter where they currently are right now, Lord, Your hand is not short. You can reach down and touch where they are right now. So, Lord, I ask that You do that. And, Lord, I pray for a response. I pray, God, that You've already prepared their hearts to receive You right now in this very moment. Lord, this is right now an ordained time for someone to turn their life to You. God, You've tried to reach them in every way. There's been prayers over the years trying to reach them, and been prayers going up. Even family members have done all that they can do and said all that they can say. But Lord, today, in this very moment, Lord, there's something special happening right now. And God, as You speak to their heart, Lord, I pray that they'll turn their life to You. Dedicate it 100% from this moment forward. And Lord, I thank You that Your plan is exceedingly greater. It's awesome, greater than what they could ever imagine or believe. You've come to bring life and life more abundantly. Lord, I pray that we receive that today. It's from You. Now I pray, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift the light of His countenance upon you and give you His great, awesome peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.